In some ways, today's Psalm 104 reminds us a bit of last week's Psalm, Psalm 93. Both emphasize God as creator and sustainer of creation. Both have lots of allusions to water. And last week for Ascension Sunday, we talked about Jesus being active as a sustainer of creation. That part of his ongoing work as King of all is to take care of his creatures and to provide for them. And in this ode to the Creator, we see Yahweh as creator, sustainer, and provider. But for Pentecost, we want to focus on the role of the Holy Spirit in these processes, as well as see the purpose for God's ongoing work. There's a lot in Psalm 104. There are parallels to both the 6 days of creation as recorded in Genesis 1, as well as a story of the flood as recorded in Genesis 7. For example, you heard that at the rebuke, the God's rebuke, the waters retreated, and at the end of verse 9, it says that the waters are never again going to cover the earth. That reminds us of the promise that God would never flood the whole world again. And verse 8, which can be read two different ways legitimately in Hebrew, according to the ambiguous Hebrew grammar. It can, the way that it is here, that the waters, they being the waters, flowed up over the mountains and went down into the valleys, would be the flood in Genesis. Or the other reading, which is the mountains rose up and the valleys went down, being more like the creation story in Genesis 1. But we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. In fact, not anymore. But it may be something that you want to do for homework, is to look at Genesis 1 in this psalm and Genesis 7 in this psalm and see. And the psalm is also similar to the Egyptian hymn to Aton, who is the sun, that was written in the 14th century B.C. We think this psalm was written in the 10th or 11th century B.C. But despite the similarities, there are important differences. In this psalm, we see that it's Yahweh who wraps himself in light, that light is something that is created, and it's his clothing. And certainly we've talked about God as light many, many times before. And last week we talked about what that it meant for Jesus to have his clothes on, that he was clothed in strength and majesty, meant that he still had work to do. And here again, we see that God is clothed in light. He still's got work to do. And in contrast to the sun, which disappears at night, and darkness brings danger and death while the sun is resting, Yahweh doesn't rest. He's active at night. He's the one that the lions, it said, depended on for food. So lions are still out and about, but they are as dependent as we on the Creator for their provision of their food. And we know that God never sleeps. And so that we can rest and God's creatures can rest. So everything depends on God for sustenance. And as creatures, we are dependent on our Creator. So we need the Lord's ongoing provision. Verses 14 through 30 talk about the Lord's provision of food for all of God's creatures, including us. And part of that is causing that the things that we can plant will grow, as in verse 14. And the second half of that verse in verse 14 says, literally, that he may bring forth bread from the earth. And bread and food are used interchangeably because bread, along with the wine and the oil, which are mentioned in verse 15, are necessary staples of life, especially in Bible times. You had to have bread and wine and oil to live. Oil for your take care of your skin. It's used to protect you when you had injuries. Wine because water wasn't always safe to drink. And so you needed to have wine to drink, and the bread being the main food that you had. And so this morning is Communion Sunday, and it's no accident that Jesus chose wine and bread for the elements of communion. Staples necessary for life. We are reminded as we take communion that we are dependent on Jesus for our life, for our spiritual vitality. And that as we pray that as we take these elements, we invite the Holy Spirit to empower them and apply them to our lives so that they will give us vitality, that they will, that Jesus will come and give us life and sustain us. But one of the main reasons that this is a Pentecost psalm is reference to the Spirit in verses 29 and 30. That you take away their breath or their spirit, and they die and return to dust. But you send forth your spirit, and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. So without the Spirit, there is no life, because the Spirit is breath. You may recall the story of Ezekiel, that Ezekiel was standing there and the Lord came in a vision and whisked him away to the valley of the dry bones. And Ezekiel was standing there and God told him to pray, and then those dry bones first came together and they made a skeleton, and then they stood on their feet, and then they were covered with muscle and with sinew and skin, but there was no life in them until the Holy Spirit came. And the Spirit came as the wind and revived them, and they were that great and mighty army as they were before. Every new life is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that to be born again, we must be born by the Spirit. And on Pentecost, the Spirit gave birth to the church. That last phrase in verse 30 is part of an ancient liturgy. And the kids, Caroline and Garrett, have as one of their worksheets this morning, Lord, send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Lord, send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth. The Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son, and we need that ongoing work of the Spirit in our world. So we pray for revival when we say, Lord, send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth. And we all know that we need revival. So we would do well to continue this prayer. Lord, send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth. You can make it a breath prayer to breathe in. Lord, send forth your spirit and breathe out and renew the face of the earth. I don't know if you've ever made that a practice before, but it can be a good way to meditate on the Lord, to center yourself before you start your devotions or your Bible reading, to practice just something simple, breathing in to help you focus on the Lord and what you want the Lord to do. Another reason that this is a Pentecost psalm is because it is about messengers. That we see that God created his creation to be messengers. At the very beginning of the psalm, we hear that the winds are God's messengers, that flaming fire are God's ministers, which are his servants. And then when we hear that flaming fire, we might think of angels, that angels are God's messengers, which is what the word angel means. Angel means messenger, official representative of God. And in fact, Hebrews 1:7 interprets Psalm 104:4 as who makes his angels spirits and his ministers as flaming fire. The Hebrew reads, he makes spirits his angels and flaming fire his ministers. And seraphs, those angels are often thought of as fiery angels. That might be what the writer of Hebrews had in mind. Spirits can refer to winds or breaths or spiritual beings or any being that breathes. We're all created to be his ministers, his messengers. So God creates messengers. We hear later in the psalm that the waves are the messengers. The birds are God's messengers. And most of all, we were created to be God's messengers. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. It was the purpose of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ would go forth to the ends of the earth. If we think of ourselves as messengers, fiery messengers, we ought to be fiery messengers. We ought to be flaming fire. We should be on fire for the Lord. Can you think of somebody you know that you would say, that person is on fire for the Lord? I bet you've encountered people like that in your life, that you know that that person loves Jesus. They can't help but talk about Jesus. They live for Jesus, and they just radiate Jesus everywhere. The way they practice their lives, you know that they're devoted to Jesus. But we should all be that way, because God poured out His Spirit on all of us, and He wants us all to be on fire for Jesus. It's no accident that something like tongues of fire was, and the sound of that mighty rushing wind were used to indicate the presence of the Holy Spirit. They're mentioned in Psalm 104. He makes the winds His messengers and flames of fire His servants. And that is a picture that we see in Acts chapter 2. Jesus had told His disciples that the Spirit was going to baptize them with fire. The fire of the Spirit gave the disciples gathered was that power of speech. That's the fire that the Spirit gave. It was languages that they hadn't previously known. But the Spirit still gives us speech. Without it, we would be poor messengers. On Pentecost, the disciples were multiplied and sent out to carry the gospel message to the ends of the earth in fulfillment of Jesus' instructions. If we are not on fire for Jesus, can we say that we really live by the power of the Holy Spirit? If the Spirit is wind and fire and we're not on fire, then what does it say about the Spirit's work in our lives? Maybe we have quenched it. Paul tells us to not quench the fire of the Holy Spirit. So that means there are things that we can do that make the Spirit not as evident in our lives. Maybe we need to confess and repent of those things that hide the Spirit, that don't let the Spirit move in our lives. As messengers, we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit, who gives us power and wisdom and discernment and gifts and, yes, words. Finally, verse 31 of the Psalm 104 says, "May the Lord be glad in His works." Question 1 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, "What is the chief end of man?" And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We were created to enjoy God, but we were also created for God's own enjoyment. And that's what Psalm 104:31 says, that we were created for God's good pleasure. Psalm 149:4 says, God takes pleasure in God's people. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work His good pleasure." So the pleasure is not just ours. God is not just ours to enjoy, but we are here for God to enjoy. God made us for His pleasure. And serving the Lord ought to bring us delight, but as we serve, it also brings delight to God. We've already seen that we can't do it without God at work in us, particularly through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when faced with different situations in our lives, we can ask, what would bring delight to God today? How can I bring delight to God? Is this behavior or action or thought or word pleasing to God? And if it's not, then we need to rethink what we're saying and what we're doing and how we're acting. Because we want to be a delight to God. That's why God made us. And so may we be a delight to the Lord through our song, through our praise, through our meditation upon God, through our obedience. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about obeying God immediately, that God doesn't want delayed obedience, but immediate obedience. Through the kind of life that we live as we carry the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And that starts right here in Southwest Jacksonville, North Carolina. We don't know where it will go forth. Some of us go forth from here We had Dorothy move back to Missouri. She's gone to another place. She carries the gospel with her, the power of the Holy Spirit with her. We've had other people move. They go away. We have people come here. They go out. Who knows who was reached through us when we surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. And God might be calling us to go. But we start where we are and live by the power of the Holy Spirit to take, as God's messengers, to take the good news of Jesus to those around us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our creator, our provider, and our sustainer. We thank you for sending the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can do what you want us to do. You have created us to be messengers for your pleasure and your delight. So may the things that we do and say and how we live, the choices we make, be pleasing to you. May we strive to delight you. And Lord, we do pray for revival. We do ask that you would send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. We need a fresh touch of fire for you. Forgive us for the times when we quench the work of the Spirit in our lives. And make us on fire for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.